Continue reading in the book of Exodus, the next chapter, the fourth chapter, the opening verses of that chapter as well, verses 1 through 17. Listen to God's word. I'm reading from the New International Version. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. "Now put it back in your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or dumb? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. People make a lot of excuses. You may have already heard some excuses today. There are excuses for almost, if not practically, everything. I heard a preacher on TV by the name of David Jeremiah even give a list of reasons why people do not want to go to football games. And I'm going to do this in kind of David Letterman top 10 style. He didn't, but I'm going to do it that way. You know how David Letterman gives you the top 10? Well, here are top 10 reasons why people, most of them come from David Jeremiah, who don't want to go in person to football games. 10, it takes up too much time, especially on a Sunday. 9, sometimes they go late. There's always the threat of overtime, and it just makes the other one before worse. 8, you have to walk from the parking lot. 7, the seats are uncomfortable. 6, I don't like it when they play the organ. 5, I don't know the people sitting around me. 4, I don't like the people sitting around me. 3, it's either too hot or too cold. 2, the coach never visits me. And number one reason, the top reason why people don't want to go to football games is whenever I go, they always want money. Okay. Well, did you get what the why a preacher would say those things, David, Jeremiah? They might appear to be reasons why people don't want to go to football games, but those are reasons we may give and maybe even have heard about why people don't want to come to worship. It's just too cold in there. It's just too hot in there. Those seats are uncomfortable. The coach never comes to visit me. They always want my money. Well, Moses was one who certainly had his excuses. This is a remarkable interchange between exchange between Moses and God with this this spectacular appearance that God gives. It's one of the most dramatic moments, certainly in the Old Testament, if not in the Scripture, where God appears to Moses in this burning bush, this bush that contains fire within it, but is not being consumed. There's a good symbol in there, too. This we call a theophany, a God appearing in certain ways. And God does this. Sometimes God would appear in the whirlwind. God would appear in a still, small voice. There are different ways that God has appeared to people throughout history. And this is one of the most notable ones. He appears to Moses, and he gives Moses, well, first of all, he tells him to take off his sandals. This is holy ground he's standing on. We could make much of the fact the bush is burning but not being consumed, and that's holy ground, but I want to get right to the heart of this thing. He gives Moses a commission. And the commission is this, that God knows that the children of Israel are in slavery in Egypt. Moses was one of them, and he has his own dramatic story, but he has fled, and he's no longer with the people of Israel. But so he's out taking care of his father-in-law's flock, and this is when this happens. And the first thing that, you know, God tells Moses, you're going to go, and you're going to tell the people that you're going to lead them out of Egypt, and then you're going to go and tell Pharaoh, the king, that you're going to take all of those people who are now slaves and you're going to take them out of bondage in Egypt. Can imagine that kind of commission that we're given. We might come up with an excuse or two ourselves as to why we're not going. Well, what's the first excuse he says is, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the people out? You know, who am I? I'm just this shepherd now. You know, well, we know he was an important person in the very household of Pharaoh before, of some distinction. That's another story. But what he's saying here now is, wait a minute, this is Pharaoh. These are all these thousands of people. They don't know me. Who am I that I'm going to do this? Well, God makes it very clear. It's not so much who you are, but that he says, I will be with you. This is the one who's manifesting himself in the burning bush. This is the one whose voice is being heard by Moses and is telling Moses, look, I'm going to be with you. Well, that should be reason enough to undertake any commission that we have. Well, Moses still, well, wait a minute. Okay, so you're going to be with me. Okay, let's just envision this for a minute. I'm going to go to the people of Israel. I'm going to say this bush, you know, it was on fire, and it talked to me, and it told me to go to you. And then I'm going to go to Pharaoh, and I'm going to say the same thing. And they're going to think I'm nuts, because they're not going to know who you are. I don't even know who you are. Well, Moses says this. Moses wants to know, what's your name? Who am I going to tell them is doing this? And then we get one of the most spectacular verses in all the Scripture. We get God revealing God's very name. God says, I am. That's my name. I am who I am. There's a lot going on in that name. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It has to do with being. It has to do with life itself. It has to do with everything that exists. It is I am is my name. And you go tell them, I am has sent you. I'm the Lord, and in our Bibles, whenever this name appears, it will appear as Lord in most of our translations, all capital letters. in our Bibles. It's the Hebrew word Yahweh. And we only very few translations use the actual name Yahweh. The Jerusalem Bible does. I think the Message does, in the Psalms at any rate, in the Old Testament. Eugene Peterson uses the name Yahweh. Jehovah is similar to it, but Jehovah is a hybrid word. It's a combination of Yahweh and Adonai, which means Lord, L, small letters, O-R-D. And whenever the Hebrew people would see Yahweh, that name was so holy to them, they would never say it. They would say Adonai. So that's one reason why we don't use Yahweh quite as much. You haven't heard as much. But the point is this. It's I am. It's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not, God is not a proper noun. God is being. God is a verb. God is like the bush that does, or the fire that does not need the bush to sustain its existence. The bush was not consumed. God is that fire of being. So go assemble the elders, he tells him, and he gives him further instruction that carries us through the third chapter. And then here's Moses again. God has given him this manifestation. He's giving him this name that is mind-blowing in its implications. And it, part of it, the fact that I am means I will be, which means I will be with you. There's a future component to God's name in there as well. There's an eternal component, we might say. But Moses says, well, what if they don't listen to me? What if they say, God never appeared to you? What am I going to do then? Another excuse. God says, okay, you see the staff in your hand, throw it on the ground, turns into a snake. Moses runs away from it. God tells him, pick it back up. It turns back into a staff. He says, put your hand inside your cloak. He pulls his hand. You can imagine the look on his face when he sees that his hand is completely leprous. That probably got his attention, huh? Maybe even more than the snake. God says, okay, put it back in your cloak, and comes out, and it's that way. Now, and God says, look, if they don't listen just because you tell them, maybe the first sign when you do the snake thing, maybe they'll listen then. If they don't, maybe they'll listen with the leprosy thing. But I'll tell you what, I'll give you another one. Even if they don't listen to that, here's what you do. You take a little bit of water from the Nile River and just pour it on the ground, and I'm going to make it turn into blood. Okay? Moses, what more do you want? Okay, I'm going to be with you. I told you my name. You got a staff. You got this. You got blood. You know, what else do you want? Well, God, I don't really speak that well. You know, this is verse 10. Lord, I've never been eloquent. You know, I failed public speaking in grade school. Don't you know, God, that one of the biggest fears people have is that they have to speak in public? Don't you know that even preachers have nightmares sometimes that they're supposed to be the preacher of the day and somewhere and they didn't know it and they have to stand up and do it? Don't you? All of us do, I got to tell you. Every preacher I know has had that dream at one time, or even I have that dream from time to time. But it's one of the things we know. People, a lot of people don't like to speak in public. They'd rather do anything than speak in public. So, you know, God, I'm just not that good with words, you know? Okay, God says this. Who made your mouth, Moses? Who do you think gives you speech? Who do you think created your ears and your vocal cords? Goes on from there. Moses, I did that. I'm God. I am who I am. I will be with you. I will give you the words to speak. I will give you these signs to do. My name is Yahweh. I am who I am. Well, you know what Moses did, don't you? Lord, please just send someone else. That was it. He didn't even really have any more excuses. He ran out of excuses. You know, my good robe is in the cleaners. You know, he didn't have anything more to give as an excuse for why he wouldn't do what God was calling him to do. And finally, we get at the heart, he doesn't want to do it. He just doesn't want to do what God is calling him to do. It's too hard. Even all of those resources, the God of his Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is, the serpents and the blood, and the send somebody else. Just God's anger burned against him. Maybe that flame got a little hotter near Moses and the bush. What about your brother, God says, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way. He'll speak for you. He'll speak to the people. He'll speak to Pharaoh. But I'm not letting you off the hook, he says. You take that staff with you. And you're going to do those signs, even though your brother will do the speaking for you. You know, God worked with him. God heard all of his excuses. God countered every one of the excuses. There was no valid excuse. But God didn't let Moses completely off the hook. He still sent him. Sent him with his brother, and he still sent him. Well, look, this is pretty easy application today. Pretty easy story. It's just right there. It's so human in terms of our response. There's all that supernatural stuff going on there, but boy, the human response is just so us. We can find an excuse for anything. Today is Commitment Sunday. A couple weeks ago, we talked about stewardship, and we handed out the packet, and you have pledge cards, and you have time and talent forms. And I just want to close with a couple of questions, and you can see what's coming. What's God calling you to do with your money, with your time, with your gifts? And what do you have to say to God? What's your excuse? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.